Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. My name is Jason Vankis. I am your host and the founder of Momentum. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer and board-certified health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have the answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions on fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. Make sure you tune in here live every week or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here on Blog Talk Radio. And please make sure to check out our Facebook page for times each week. Just look for Momentum Fitness and Health. We try to keep it consistent, but you know, sometimes life happens and we have to change our times. You can also find helpful videos while you are there and also at findingyourmomentum.com. And if you are a paying member, either in our fitness club or a one-on-one personal training or health coaching client, you actually get a live stream, live video stream, on our Facebook page. So thank you for joining me today or whenever you happen to be listening. So, man, I get this all the time. Jason, I started out great. I was losing weight. I was feeling awesome, and I was super confident. Then I hit a wall. I hit this wall, and I plateaued. I lost all motivation after not seeing any more results. What happened? What's wrong, and why is this happening? Well, today I'm here to answer this question with the top three reasons people tend to sabotage their weight loss and fitness goals and cause that plateau. So we've got three things we're going to go over today, and number one is failure to develop a plan. And that plan needs to involve goals, action steps, and a way to measure success. After all, failure to plan is a plan to fail. I'm full of all sorts of cliches. If you haven't ever worked with me before, you know that I subscribe to the idea of SMART goals or the SMART goals paradigm. SMART goals are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. So there's five aspects to it. So what exactly does that all mean? Well, you need to be specific. We know that we basically need to know the who, the what, the when, the where, and the how. How are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Where? You know, obviously the who is you, or maybe it's you and me, if you're enlisting me to help you, or Sean, or Lise, two of our other trainers. The what is your fitness program, whether it's strength or weight loss or planning for an event. When do you plan to start? You need to set a solid date when you plan to start. Does it have to be on a Monday? No. Does it have to be January 1st? No. It just has to be very specific as to when your start date is. And you commit to that start date. Where and when are you going to work on this? So are you going to work on it at the studio with us? Are you going to work on it on your own? Are you going to join a different gym and do your own thing? Be very specific as to what you plan to achieve and how you're going to go about it. Many people will join a gym for $20 a month and think that they'll figure it out as they go along. Very rarely does that ever work out. So don't do that to yourself. Get very specific about your plan. And all of our clients always sit down and do a specific goal and action plan. All of our one-on-one clients, I should say. And sometimes we even create a vision board. All the health coaching clients definitely do it. Now next, and maybe most important, is that they should be measurable. What's your measuring stick? How are you going to know if you're being successful or not? Are you going to track inches, pounds, body fat, speed, distance, how much you can lift. How will you know if you're being successful? It's important to know this. Otherwise, how do you know? So I'm always a fan of small goals over short periods of time and constant checking. A couple of pounds per week and measure every 2 weeks. And when you set out to lose 30, 50, 60 pounds, it seems very, very daunting when you lose just 2 pounds in that first week. But if you set your goal to lose 8 to 10 pounds in a month, and you check in after 2 weeks and you've lost 3 or 4 pounds, you know, you see that 4 pounds lost and you're much more pumped up and much more excited because you're 40% to your smaller goal. Not even thinking about your overall goal, you're more pumped up and excited to continue because you're seeing 40% of your goal. Now, if 4 pounds compared to 50 pounds and you're only at like 2% of your goal. 20% of your goal. And it doesn't seem, or 2% of your goal, I was right the first time. It doesn't seem like a lot. So set those smaller goals. Now, this also moves into that idea of being more attainable. Are your goals attainable and realistic? Setting unrealistic goals is a surefire way to end up demotivated. Don't say, I want to lose 10 pounds in a week. It's not realistic. It's not attainable. That requires a 35,000 calorie deficit over a period of a week. And it's just not realistic. 35,000 calories. You want to set those goals smaller. Make them more realistic. Make them more attainable. Even if it's a smaller goal over a period of time, you're going to be more motivated because you're smashing these little goals. You're smashing these little goals. So, also your goals have to be time-bound. How do you know when you've met your goal, or what's the time? If you just say, I just want to lose 50 pounds. I don't care when. You're not going to put as much effort into it because you don't have a specific time goal. Same thing with like smoking. I'm going to quit smoking eventually. When? When are you going to quit smoking, and how are you going to hold yourself accountable to that? So, you know, remember, you know, to break it down, going back to the weight loss thing, you know, you want to set these smaller goals over a shorter period of time, smash that goal, and then set a new one. So let's say you want to lose 50 pounds in 6 months. That's reasonable. You know, that's about approximately, 9 pounds a month? Less than 9 pounds a month. It's like 8.5. So there's a start. But then break it down into mini goals. Break it down into monthly, 8.5 pounds a month. Okay, so that's approximately 2 pounds in a week. And measure halfway through that period. So measure every 2 weeks so you know that you're doing right. If you didn't lose 2 pounds in that first 2 weeks, you got to tweak some stuff. Because if you didn't stop to take the time to measure and check again, how do you know what you're doing is right? Don't wait the whole month and then measure in and be like, oh, you know what, I only lost 2 pounds. I must have been doing something wrong. After 2 weeks, you can fix it. Minimize the damage, basically. Now, if your goal is to run faster or further, set smaller goals and then make them incremental. If you're running, especially, use the 10% rule. Increase your mileage weekly by 10% each week until you meet your goal. And then set a new goal. But you do want to make sure that you do take a week here and there to kind of scale back a little bit and let your body recover and get some rest. Why am I telling you all this? And it's because 91% of fitness and weight loss goals are not met. 91%. Or actually, this is New Year's resolutions. So 91% of New Year's fitness and weight loss resolutions are not met. 3% are met on their own, and the other 6% are met with the help of a personal trainer. So if 9% of people are meeting their goals, 2/3 of those people that are meeting their goals are using a trainer or a coach of some sort. They can help you set goals, action steps, keep you accountable, and give you the program. That's why we do what we do. That's what we're here for. We're not here to count your reps, count your sets. We're here to hold you accountable, to help you set goals, and create action steps and give you that guide. So that is one way that people sabotage their weight loss goals, not having a plan, not setting goals. Now, the second way people sabotage their fitness goals is to not use proper progression. Now, this goes two ways, either not increasing the difficulty or increasing your workouts too fast. There's proper progression. I hear this all the time. Hey, I walk 10 miles a week, and I do the same machines every time I go to the gym, which is three times a week. I lost 10 pounds in the first month, but have really just been maintaining the last 2 months. Why is that? Well, how come I saw the initial weight loss, or I saw the initial change, but now I'm not? I'm doing the same thing I was doing before. It was effective before. So, have you ever heard the phrase, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting the same results? You have to change it up. So what happens is your body responds to the new demands on it, either by building muscle, getting more flexible, and in some cases losing fat. Once your body gets used to those demands, it no longer needs to adapt. Hey, this is easy. I don't need to get stronger. I don't need to get faster. I don't need to lose any more fat because this is right where I need to be. So it doesn't. It just stops. That's where you get that plateau. You don't get stronger. You don't get faster. And you don't lose any more weight. So now in order for your body to make changes again, you need to increase the demand placed on your body to continue to see those changes. This could mean longer or faster runs or walks, more reps with weights, more weight with weightlifting, or as I mentioned before in a previous podcast, more time under tension, more perceived exertion, or more actual exertion, really. So more time under tension, which means doing your reps slower, so the weight is perceived to be heavier. You need to put more stress on your muscles or your body to continue to see changes. It's that simple. Remember, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. Full of cliches today. That's what, the third one. But now on the flip side of that, progressing too fast can have a detrimental effect on your training plan too. Now, if you just jump off the couch after 5 years of doing nothing and start doing Zumba or CrossFit or running 5 miles a day, you're going to end up hurting yourself. You will end up on the couch doing nothing, feeling sorry for yourself, and eating your feelings with gas station chicken planks and deep-fried macaroni and cheese. How do I know it? How do I know that? I was there. It happened to me. I started working with a trainer because I wanted to get better, and she progressed me a little bit too fast. She had me doing some jumps I shouldn't have been doing. Now, to be fair, I didn't say stop. I didn't say this was too much for me, and I was also on my end, for sure, doing too much mileage too fast, increasing too fast. So, I'm not going to say it was completely her fault. A little bit of both of us, you know, we were both trying to get me to be as good as I can without taking the proper progression, okay? And I ended up with a stress fracture, and I was down for 6 months. 6 months. I was 190 pounds. I went down to 160. I lost 30 pounds. I was feeling great. And then I gained that 30 pounds back in those 6 months and had to go through it all over again because I sat there feeling sorry for myself. So make sure, be careful when you're selecting a personal trainer. And again, I'm not putting all the blame on that personal trainer. Make sure that they are credentialed and follow a progressive path. Make sure they do some testing with you to make sure that you're able to do these things. There's still this idea that personal trainers are just there to drive you into the ground and beat you up. But the personal training world has changed because I've had people say, oh, I'm not ready for a personal trainer yet. No, that's not it anymore. I could give you a workout that will almost kill you. But there's no benefit in doing that in the long run. So let's work you up. Let's use workouts that are going to build you up to the ability level that you want to be at. Personal training will get you there faster if you don't have the knowledge. And they will use proper progression and limit your chances of getting hurt. Okay? So, setting goals and then making sure you're using proper progression. whether that be heavier weights, longer runs, you know, make sure that you are properly progressing the right way. Not all at once, but over a period of time. Again, going along with those goals. And again, that is another reason to have a personal trainer or a health coach help you. Now, lastly, is eating for your goals. As a matter of fact, what you eat is about 70 to 80% of your health and fitness, from weight loss to endurance, strength, muscle building, and, yeah, even chronic illness. You must eat for your goals or you will not see results. If you think that you're going to out-exercise poor nutrition, it's not going to happen. I can send you the picture of my father who was exercising, got back into running, but did not change his nutrition. Okay? And he did that for about, 8 months, got frustrated. Didn't give up. Said, what do I need to do? I'm like, you finally need to listen to me on your nutrition. He lost weight. So, my overall suggestion is always, always to eat more whole and unprocessed foods for your overall health and wellness. Now, this includes fruits, vegetables, grains, and whole lean cuts of meat. Personally, I don't eat meat, but I'm not gonna bash you if you do. Okay? Now, this kind of eating does exclude things like chips, crackers, pasta, deli meat, sausages, and commercially made bakery items, white bread, excessive amounts of oil and sugar. Those are the two big ones, oil and sugar, because it's in everything. Because it's so cheap to make and fill, and it makes your food taste better. Fat and sugar, those are the two things. And I'm not saying oil necessarily is bad for you, but in high amounts, okay? Try to live an 80-20 lifestyle. I'm not going to say don't ever eat these things ever again, but try to eat an 80-20 lifestyle. Because that list, honestly, is a lot longer. Anything that comes in a box, a bag, or a can, you should probably get rid of it, okay? Eat closer to nature. So, again, I'm not going to argue what's best between vegan, paleo, Mediterranean, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to go into why I don't eat meat and why you shouldn't or anything like that. Okay? Just eat real food. If you want to know why I feel you shouldn't eat meat, you can ask me, but I'm not going to lecture about it right here, right now. I'm not going to lecture about it unless you ask me. So, but just how much do you need to eat? That's the important thing. Now, I did cover this to some degree or in depth last week, and you can go back and listen to how to know if your workout is burning fat or building muscle, but I'll cover some of it again here real quickly. Now, the first thing you need to know when it comes to losing fat or gaining muscle is how many calories per day your body needs to maintain its current weight. Now, the most accurate way to do this is to use the calculator that's found at active.com. Just search caloric needs calculator, active.com. You'll type in your age, your weight, your height, and your activity level, and it's going to give you a number that you need to maintain your body weight. Okay, so it's important to know your number to maintain, because from there you have to add or subtract calories. Now, once you've got your number, it's important to understand that 3,500 calories make up 1 pound of fat. 3,500 calories. So, to lose 2 pounds a week, you need a caloric deficit of 7,000 calories over the whole week. That's an average of 1,000 a day. Okay, that's why setting a goal of 10 pounds a week is not realistic. Now, most people burn between 300 calories in an hour workout, 500, maybe as much as 600 if you're going up to like 90-minute workouts, right? So you're likely working out, and you're likely not going to work out every day. So that's why food is so important. Earlier this week, we posted on our Facebook page a meme about competing with your food. You're not going to win that battle of competing with your food if you're eating chips, cookies, cake, and fast food all the time. Many get caught up in that, I just worked out so I can eat this pizza and drink this soda. Now, I just went over some numbers with a client yesterday on frozen home run and pizza that was sausage and mushroom, cut into 8 pieces at 225 calories per slice. So 2 slices will cancel out your 500-calorie workout. That's it. You didn't even include the soda, which is another 150 calories, so you're going to go even further the wrong way. So now you still have to find another 1,000 calories somewhere that you're going to either cut out or go get a second workout in. That's why it's important to eat so healthy. So going back to that meme, you know, it pictured a double bacon cheeseburger, and that comes in over 1,200 calories. You can probably eat that in about 15 minutes. 15 minutes to eat 1,200 calories. You know how long it takes to burn 1,200 calories? If you're running, you have to run a half marathon in 2 hours in 10 minutes. Now, how long would it take you to run that half marathon? So for 15 minutes of eating, you have to run for 2 hours and 10 minutes? Does that sound like a fair trade-off? No. No, it's not. Find something that's tasty and healthy to eat. It comes in at a lower calorie, you know, at lower calories. Eat more vegetables, okay? Or if you're going to make a burger, make it at home. And then you can control the portion size. You can control how much bacon, how much cheese you put on it, and how much meat goes into it, and how much oil you use. That's a big one. So that's how important food is to your weight loss program. Just 100 calories a day over your maintenance number is 10 pounds in a year. Think about it. It's 10 pounds in a year. Remember we said we wanted to lose 10 pounds in a week before? Well, that's 3,500 calories. 100 calories a day, 350 days out of the year gets you that 35,000 calories. So now what if you're building muscle? Well, you do need to eat more than your body needs, and in about 500 calories a day over your basic needs plus exercise should yield about a quarter pound of muscle per week. Okay, now very often you're going to put on a little fat, but you can minimize that damage by making sure you're eating whole unprocessed foods. See, a lot of bodybuilders eating a lot of crap, but a lot of bodybuilders die young. They do. Their arteries are all clogged up. I used to watch kids that, you know, bodybuilders eating a Taco Bell bell box and then a 5-piece KFC box. So, I mean, you know, yeah, they put on a lot of muscle, but they put on a lot of fat. They did a lot of damage to their body, okay? It just depends on what your goals are. If you're looking for aesthetics, okay, fine. Do whatever, you know, do whatever. But if you're worried about your overall health, knock it off. Now, if you're training for endurance, it's really important to know how many calories you're burning during your training rides, your runs, your swims, and your weight sessions. If you have a weight loss goal, then you still want to go just a bit under, but it's generally considered a bad idea to try and lose weight. You actually want to try and cut your weight before you go into training season. So just go just a bit under, because you want to make sure that you are fueling yourself properly for these long rides. You don't want to bonk out on these long rides. You don't want to go in a huge caloric deficit and then bonk out halfway in a 50-mile bike ride. You're 25 miles out. You got to come back. That is going to suck if you have no energy. I did find that eating a large breakfast, eating majority of my calories during the day before my rides and before my runs, I wasn't as hungry afterwards or during. Was able to cut weight that way and still PR my half Ironman. So that was last year's 90-day shred, which one of these days I'll put it to paper. But make sure you're eating foods with a high fiber content that's going to keep you fuller longer. Try and skip the pasta. The whole pasta for endurance runners, it's starting to go away. You're seeing more people eat things like quinoa and millet and kamut and brown rice, before their runs, before their events, because it's going to sustain your energy longer. So if you have plateaued, look to see if any or all of these apply to you. You also want to remember that consistency is key as well. And I have this conversation time and time and time and time again. Many people get into fitness or nutrition programs that don't have an exit plan. Okay, you did it for 90 days. P90X, all that. Go back to what you were doing before, and we'll see you again when you put that weight back on. It's not what I do. It really has to be important to you and to be a part of your lifestyle. And it needs to be a priority. You know, but I do. I often hear, but I have to take care of this or that, kids, work, family member. And I'm not saying that these things aren't important and shouldn't be your number one priority, because they should be. They really should. Family should always be your number one priority. But what is necessary for you to be able to go to work and make money, be able to play with your kids or grandkids, or take care of an older parent? It's your health. Yes, those things are important, but your health is necessary to be able to do those things. You're no good to anybody if you can't, you know, to the people that you want to be, that rely on you, you're no good to them if you're not able to do it. Because you cannot pour from an empty cup. You have to take care of yourself, too, in order to be able to take care of other people. Think about it. When a plane's going down, what do they tell you to do? They tell you to put your mask on before you put the mask on the kid next to you. You need to make sure that you are able to take care of them. Well, that was a lot. It was a long session. And you know what? This is written all for me. I didn't go through and look up other people's stuff. This is all for me. This is all from my heart and what I preach and what I tell people every day. Now, join me next week as I discuss the number one killer in America, heart disease. I'm going to discuss how this truly is a lifestyle disease. Yes, you can be genetically predisposed to certain things, but how it is so much more triggered by lifestyle decisions and what you can do to prevent it. You can always find us on Facebook and on the web at findingyourmomentum.com. Until next time, I hope that you find your momentum.
That's all.